Hi, Taisel.
Hey, Tazura.
And I'm Jermaine.
And welcome back to another episode of Clarity's Hash Podcast.
It's the year of the dragon. Gongxi, gongxi, everyone.
Everybody. Gongxi, gongxi. What else do you know?
Sing along, dance along.
Look at our t-shirts today. If you're not on YouTube, please, you have to join us. We are wearing the merch from Hazel's Chinese New Year music video for her song, Sing Along, Dance Along.
You pronounced that perfectly. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, and then we'll show you the back later as well. But we're very proud of Hazy for making her own, her very own music video for Lunar New Year. Please check it out.
Thank you.
Her own song, her own music video, her own work and efforts.
Thank you. It's my YouTube channel, and next time I want to produce another song, I will think very, very hard.
So catchy. Love it.
Thank you. Okay, also do the dance challenge, okay? Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, today, you know, we are here to celebrate Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
And on that note, also talk about some of the dramas we might face at Chinese New Year gatherings.
Or traumas in our families.
That's right.
Generational trauma.
Generational trauma, right? We hear this term a lot. It's come up a lot in the last couple of years. But what is it really, generational trauma?
I believe it is bad habits or like practices passed down from generation to generation
that cause some fear. That can be part of it. I do think that with the weight of past traumas, especially with our parents, our grandparents, when they pass it down, it can manifest in different ways. So it's not exactly like A for A. Like, oh, they have this bad habit. We inherit that bad trait. But it could be generations of, for example, neglect. And that passes down into parents that are not physically or emotionally there for you because they were neglected, for example.
Correct. Yeah. And I think when it doesn't stop at a generation, or a generation doesn't do the work to heal that bit of them, it just carries on, and then it manifests in different ways and shapes and forms.
And it just trickles down, right? But sometimes I feel like maybe they didn't know that that was bad because that was the way they were taught as well. So for example, in my family, I feel like one of the things that I cannot accept is biasness.
Oh,
Males and females?
Correct. In very typical Asian families, a lot of time, a lot of favoritism is given to the male, especially the 长子, you know, basically the eldest son of the eldest son. Well, there's even more like, you know, favoritism involved. My grandma really doted on my brother, for example, like the chicken rice story that I shared the other time. And she also showed a lot of favoritism towards my cousin, my eldest male cousin. And that sort of like trickles down a bit. But luckily, my parents didn't practice that. And now I'm very, very sure that I sure as hell will not do this to my own kids in future also.
Which means that your parents broke that particular trauma within the generations, which probably stretched many generations before your grandparents.
Exactly. I even have an auntie. She must be about like 60 plus years old this year. She even said, you know, to my cousin who was pregnant at that time, I hope you have a male baby inside of you. Oh. I hope you have a baby boy because, you know, baby boys are better. And then when you ask her, why are boys better? She just said, it's just better, lor. Like, you know, women are meant to do a lot of household chores, do a lot of like washing, cleaning. Boys better, lah.
So this is your aunt, the same generation as your parents.
Correct.
So as you can see, part of the same family tree, but doesn't mean that that whole generation will break the cycle. Only one line, which is maybe your line of the family, managed to break out of that cycle. But that's great on your parents that they recognize that.
I'm grateful for that, actually.
It depends who does the work, you know? And I think also something that plays a part is just the situation in that time. I think it's a... not cultural,
environment.
Environmental is correct. For example, right? Let's say we speak to someone two generations ago or three generations ago. They would not think that not ever seeing their dads at home was a neglect thing, because they would have taken it as, oh, it's normal. Like, it's normal that I don't see my dad around, or it's normal that dad is not as involved in a household as we expect them to be right now.
Because he has to go out to make money.
Correct. Because the situation was different. At that time, it was males provide. It was like a provider mentality kind of thing, right? Right. Everybody else could not really provide for themselves. Mm-hmm. If it was never broken, this trauma, it trickles. And then in this current day and age, it will manifest into like neglect, lah, right?
Yeah.
So I have a question for Azura. I mean, from a young age, you didn't really have, you know, that father figure until much later in life. At which point did you realize, oh shit, I'm traumatized?
Very late. Because I think the way I had dealt with it was always, I don't know if it's healthy, to be very honest. Like now I think about it. And I know sometimes people pride me for it and they say, you know, it's so great that you can let go of things that are not within your control. Mm-hmm. But I think it stemmed from a place where if I had processed it at that time, I would not have been okay. So the only defense mechanism that I could cope with was to push it aside and not think about it. You know, it did affect me. It didn't bother me for a very long time, actually. I felt nothing towards it.
But it was actually bubbling under the surface.
Correct.
That's the thing about generational trauma. You can't push it away and pretend it doesn't exist.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it comes
and
back.
I was only made aware of it maybe early 20s.
Like what happened that made you realize?
I think it was spotting my own habits of doing certain things. Like for example, we've addressed this before. Like I like to push buttons of people who come into my life.
Mm-hmm. You have, okay, forgive me. This is just what I've observed. I think you have a very strange attachment style. You want people close, but you don't want them too close. And you have very high expectations of everyone around you, especially the people that you are considering to give your heart to. And sometimes it's almost impossible, and you know it's impossible, but you still, you can't help
it.
Yeah, you can't help it.
But to expect this.
This is the effect of generational trauma. But but I have to say that Azura has been working very hard at healing and breaking that pattern.
I'm proud of you.
Proud of you. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
What about you, Jimmy?
For me?
Yeah.
I think I've spoken about this before, but it's a bit more apt for this episode. Because my parents grew up in, I would say, lower income families, probably on the poverty line, right? Their parents, I don't want to say neglected them, but definitely did not give them the attention, the care that a child needs.
But that's because
they had
12 kids, right?
They had like 12, 13 kids, you know, all the kids were working from a very young age to support each other. The older kids had to take care of the younger kids. So because of that, I think passing it down, you know, into my generation, probably my dad felt like the way that he could be there for the family was to go out and earn money. It wasn't necessarily to, you know,
emotionally.
Yeah, it wasn't emotionally, right? I think he never learned that. But now he's starting to realize that because we're old, we're realizing that, hey, you know, we need to talk about our emotions. We need to talk about our feelings. At first, it was very awkward. You know, it was like, we're not used to this. Like, talk about our emotions. How do you feel? How do I feel? But now I think it's a bit more natural for us.
And I remember you told me once that your dad actually sends you texts now to ask about you and how you're doing, right?
He does, he does. Actually, we were on a phone call the other day, right? I was getting my nails done. My boyfriend was beside me and like four people doing our nails and stuff. So this phone call started very angry, right? Because we were upset about something work-wise. So we were arguing on the phone. We were arguing and arguing, and this phone call went on for about an hour.
Wow.
By the end of it, I was crying.
Okay.
While still getting my UV nails done.
Wow.
I was crying in
dedication
the nail salon.
Dedication right there.
Yeah, and what I reflected on after that is that, and also with my partner, he said that I heard that the conversation changed midway. It became from a work thing to a, I care about you, I love you because you're my daughter, and I just want the best for you. And these are things he was never able to verbalize in the past.
Right.
But now he can, and it makes me cry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So last time, what are the ways that your father would care about you?
Every weekend, buy me toys. That was his way of showing love.
So like financial
stability, financial,
right. Providing for you financially.
Exactly.
Well, actually, it's really not easy.
It's not easy. Yeah,
I cannot imagine speaking about my feelings with my dad as well.
You should try.
It's awkward.
But you know he loves you.
Yeah. You know, the typical Asian family is just so hard.
Yeah,
I understand.
But yeah, I guess as a good daughter, we should always try and like talk things out.
Of course, you know, with generational trauma, I think what we experience, mm-hmm. or maybe personally what I've experienced in my life, may not be the full extent of it. It can come from a lot of things, mm-hmm. like, for example, genocide, slavery. Mm. And this can manifest in a lot more serious ways, right? Mm. We are just speaking based on our personal experiences, mm-hmm. yep. And how that can manifest in families, right? One of the ways is, for example, a repetition of abuse, right? Mm. People that have experienced abuse in the past tend to become abusers.
I feel like it's always two extremes. Either you become one of them or you
seek comfort in them.
Oh.
No, or you eliminate them completely. Okay. That was what I was going for, Azura.
Oh, sorry, because I have a story to share about
okay,
this.
Come.
So I know a friend who, as she was growing up, slightly similar to Hazy's family, there was a lot of emphasis on the males.
Okay.
A lot of favoritism shown to the males. So she has a brother. And I think the treatment towards her and her brother growing up was completely different.
Oh.
I think way beyond just like chicken rice sort of thing. Because now it's from her parents, from her grandparents, it was from everyone. And I think the male figures in her life from a young age were abusive towards her.
Mm.
They never showed care. Her grandfather was abusive towards her.
Physically abusive.
As far as I know, yes.
Oh, wow.
There was a lot of just this cast aside sort of thing, and it was coming from different directions. And then she grew up. She's a lot older than I am, actually. And eventually, I think it took a while before we realized that the males she was attracting in her life all had this quality where they were there just for a good time, or they were there only when they wanted her. It was this sense of like when a good guy came into her life, she could not deal with it. She's like, you're the scum of the fucking earth.
Oh.
But when it was someone who was not giving her what she needed, what she deserved, and was not meeting her needs, she's like, oh, this is a good person.
Huh?
Because that's all you know how to deal with.
See, this mindset is weird, but I don't think she realizes it.
Someone has pointed it out to her before.
Uh-huh.
Angry.
Like defensive.
Mm. Was there someone new?
No.
Oh. No, I completely, believe that, that's a situation that could happen because you normalize it growing up.
Right.
That is the burden that you carry into the next generation.
Mm.
And if your friend ever has kids or has, lineage downwards, it's very possible that they could also experience the same thing.
I feel like if you don't realize this trauma is affecting your life, it can really lead you to become someone with low self-esteem.
Mm.
Like you feel like you're not worth anything much in life.
Mm. Another way probably would be insecure attachment styles in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you were growing up, you never saw what a healthy relationship was.
Yep.
And then you kind of get trapped in this cycle of like codependency, for example. And you can't form healthy connections.
Mm. Another way is workaholism. Actually, I struggled to understand this concept for a bit. But after what Jeremy mentioned just now about her father, like your father grew up in a low-income family. That's why maybe now all he does is work hard to provide like a stable life for his loved ones, like his wife and yourselves.
Correct. And you know what's funny? I mean, in Jeremy's case, it's fine. But I've seen some of the cases where because father grew up with no money, so works really, really hard, money is everything to him.
Correct.
And then treats the kids like money is everything. You know, like I'm providing with all the money, so that's enough. In turn, you get kids who don't fucking give a damn about money.
Money has no value.
Yes, because all they wanted was you.
Wow.
This reminds me of
that
some like Jack Neo
so
movie,
sad.
You know?
Yeah. All they wanted was you, not your money.
But it's true though. But growing up, I saw how hard my parents worked for money. Because there's three kids, three of us, my sister, myself, and my brother. And by seeing how hard they worked, I actually treasure money a lot. I cherish it. Like the pocket money they give me, I would save up. Fine, I used them to buy earrings in the end, but still, at least...
Nice
at
earrings.
Least, yeah,
nice, nice. I like them.
At least I understood the concept of saving up.
Yeah,
because
the value
of
money.
Correct.
You understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And in a similar situation, let's say like you grew up in a family where everyone was just trying to make money, earn their own keep. The moment that you are in like secondary school, you're taking part-time jobs to try and, you know, just survive, right? Then perhaps in such a family, education is not very important. Because what for you go and take a university degree? What for like you go and go to college? It's so expensive. Just go out and earn money and you can start to support yourself, support your family, support your parents. And then it becomes a generational thing where no one thinks education is important. And it becomes a cycle of, you know, poor education through the generations.
If you grew up in that environment, to you, like the people before you, without education, they were still making money, but you're not seeing what else there are out there with an education. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah. Example, after A's and before uni, we had 8 months break, right? So I spent the 8 months break on a part-time job. Like I was fetching in money by the hour. So the more hours I worked, the more money I would get.
What were you doing?
So, you know, I worked as a server, worked as a cashier, but honestly, the learning curve was only like that. You know, like after 1 month of being in that place, I probably learned all that I could have. But, you know, recently I was speaking to a friend who is very, very much younger than me. So in his time, like his 8 months break, he chose to do an internship that pays him $800 a month.
That is quite a standard internship rate.
Correct. But that's the thing. I never considered the possibility of an internship because I just wanted to make money. But to him, it's like, oh, I need to do an internship so I can understand if finance is the one for me. Like, never mind that the pay is low. So I feel like, wow, there's a real difference right there. Like, your family background enables you to make this choice without worrying. Whereas for me, I feel like it's a bit harder. So making money was all I ever thought about.
Exactly, exactly. And this is called goals under achievement, right?
Okay.
Where, for example, you are always just trying to make money to survive. So you never have bigger goals than that.
Right.
It just caps there. Yeah. I do have a story here from one of our PDs. Trigger warning, sexual assault. So if you are not comfortable with listening to stories of sexual assault, you can just skip forward by a few minutes. So our PD says, my friend, let's name her Jane. She comes from a broken family where her mom actually went through several divorces and broke up with different men. So she was always, you know, having a rotation of men coming and living in the house, right? Mom's boyfriends and things like that. So one time her mom was with a man and he actually stayed with them in their one bedroom apartment. So Jane slept in the living room and they slept in the bedroom, the mom and the boyfriend. One morning while Jane was sleeping, it was early around 5 in the morning when something told her to wake up. Just some gut feeling told her to wake up. She remembers that the room was very, very dark and she heard two things. Her mom in the shower getting ready for work and something else that was happening right next to her. Her stepfather was engaging in a sexual act right beside her on the couch in the living room. Long story short, TLDR, looking at how her mom fell in love with not the greatest men, right, affected how Jane viewed her own relationships. She never had a stable father figure in her life. And after everything that she's been through, this has manifested in a situation where she lacks boundaries for herself and for the men around her. Her self-worth is very, very low. She has been married once to the wrong man, resulting in a divorce after a year of marriage, similar to her mom, right? She was on the verge of breaking free from generational trauma when she landed a job as a stewardess, being away from the household, traveling and all that. But it kind of reverted back with the arrival of a less than ideal partner who is now her ex-husband,
right? That guy.
That disrupted the progress and she seems like she's still stuck in that cycle of trauma.
It's honestly very hard to step out of it. For us, as outsiders, we would be like, can you just snap out of it or not? But for them, they've been experiencing this their whole lives. They don't know anything else other than what they've seen or experienced. Even if you give them a good man, like what Azura mentioned just now, they will reject it.
They don't know how to accept healthy love.
Correct. Or they feel like they don't deserve it. Then it's some work.
We will touch on some ways later in the episode on how to break generational trauma or how to even get started on that. But Hazy, there was this episode, I don't know if you remember, where you spoke about your relationship with your brother. Till now, I don't really know too much about it, but you mentioned that it was complicated.
I honestly don't know how things got to where it is today. But I think it started when I was about like 13 years old. He was like in primary school. He's my younger brother, by the way. So I don't know why. Is it a puberty thing or what? But, you know, growing up, we were often very angry with each other. Like we would quarrel and sometimes we would fight, like physically fight it out, that kind of thing, you know. It was crazy. And then my parents just told us to like stop talking to each other. If every time you talk, you're going to quarrel, then you don't talk to each other at all. So that's what we did lah. Like we didn't talk to each other. And I think it sort of like just trickled down all the way to today. I mean, sometimes he still says very nasty things to me that I don't know whether he's like kidding or not. His form of like joking is to say mean things, and like people who understand would laugh. People who don't understand, like myself, would be offended. And all the more, I wouldn't want to like talk to him.
But you have a niece, right? Which is his kid.
Correct, correct, correct.
Do you find that having that niece has helped your relationship in any way?
Kira definitely helped pull me and my sister-in-law closer. But I wouldn't say it's the same for my brother and I, because both of us just don't take that step to reconcile this relationship. And I feel like nobody else can help if we don't even take that step ourselves. I'm going to plan a family trip for my parents this year. And my sister-in-law just asked, like, you know, hey, can we join in the trip? I said yes, but honestly, oh, I seriously hope she's not listening to the episode. But I'm dreading it a little. Like, having to see my brother for a full week when we're overseas is killing me, man.
But what if things change? Okay, I'm not saying that it has to, because at your own time, right?
Correct.
But let's say you go on this trip for a week and it's not just the two of you. There's a lot of other distractions. Your parents, there's Kira. So technically, all you need to do is to be at opposite ends of the table for this week. And maybe in that time, what about a simple gesture of like, you know, it could be like passing a food, passing something. But maybe small things like that. Do you think it would ever become something bigger?
But I don't think that I haven't tried in all these years, you know. Okay. I have. I have. They were just not accepted.
It takes two hands to clap. Mm-hmm. I have quite a similar relationship with my brother as Hazy. For many years, we would fight and we would fight. And it was because of a lot of misunderstandings and saying hurtful things, right, that we never really forgave each other for. But in the last couple of years, due to some circumstances within the family, we have had to confront a lot of those past traumas by talking about it, and a lot of tears involved on both sides. And because of that, you know, I really put in the work to help him where he needed. And then he also helped me where I needed. And, you know, I would say things to him like, you know, you're my brother, I love you, I'll always be here for you, and you know, whatever that you need, right? And he doesn't say it in so many words, but I know he feels the same way. And it was very tough to get to this point, and I don't know that we'll never fight again. But the relationship now, I think, you know, even with my parents, they're so much happier that we no longer
fight.
Yeah. And we actually, you know, get along sometimes.
Sometimes. But I see that you do have quite a good relationship with your brother and your sister-in-law. Like, you guys hang out together.
That took a while.
Correct.
That took a while.
But at least this incident happened for you guys to come together and, like, face it together.
It's true. It's true, yeah. So, just wanted to say to Hazy, never say never. Yeah, I really thought it was, like, gone.
For life kind of thing.
Yeah, I would never see my brother again. I thought, But I think family finds a way to come back, but only if it wants to.
Important note. Only if it wants to.
It takes two hands to clap. One hand, how to clap. So here's the thing, right? On a lighter note, when it comes to CNY gatherings or family gatherings, okay? Not just CNY, like any family gathering, there's always going to be some sort of unresolved conflict. Or because of trauma, because of drama, because of whatever it is, right?
As Hazy said earlier, her parents healed that bit, but maybe they had trickled down some other generational trauma.
Right.
And then there's the other family from that same generation who hasn't healed that bit and is passing that generational trauma on.
No, exactly.
And then you gather, and then you have a room full of different traumas coming out in different shapes and forms.
It's a therapist's nightmare. So last year, there was a wedding that everyone came together for. Like, literally everybody was there, right? This was the first wedding post-COVID. And then we noticed that, you know, one of my cousins showed up with her two kids.
Okay.
Not a husband in sight.
Oh.
And this is the thing about family gatherings. Y'all don't say it out loud, but everyone's whispering from table to table. I'm like, yes. WhatsApping my cousin. My cousin's WhatsApping me. I'm like asking my mom. I'm like, what's going on? Like, where is her husband? They got a divorce earlier last year. So these are the things that happen. It's little whispers of things and texts and side conversations.
Correct. Because in every large family, there are going to be little groups here and there, everywhere. Yeah. You know?
We usually gather in the toilet to discuss.
To talk about all
but
these.
You have to make sure no one else is in the other stalls.
Please. So, you know, I come from a very small family, right? Uh-huh. There's very little drama. Oh, very little. I've barely seen any family drama. But I'm very invested in my friend's family dramas. I love.
Hey, speaking of that, I have another story to share. Mm. So my cousin got married to someone, right? And I attended that wedding. But that was the only time I ever saw that guy. Huh? So I could barely remember what he looked like.
Oh.
So the next year during Chinese New Year, my cousin came, but she was alone.
Okay.
And then the following year, she came and she was alone again. So I was like, hey, where's your husband? But at the same time, you're too
don't know whether I can ask or not.
To ask about it. And then the year after that, she came, but with another guy. Oh. But at this point, I did not recognize that. This new guy that she brought was not the same person as the guy I attended the wedding. Because that was the only time I literally saw her ex-husband.
So you thought it was the same person?
I thought it was the same person.
Did you say something?
No. Luckily, I didn't because I couldn't confirm my suspicion. So I shut up and just said, Happy New Year.
Tell them sing along,
but well, I think she's happy now and I'm happy for her.
I've learned that in life, sometimes it really pays to shut up first.
Yes, yeah. Think about it and then go dig later.
And then speak.
But then I don't need to wait for too long because my aunties will do the questioning. Then after that, I just sit down there and listen and then I'll get my answer.
So for Azura, how are family gatherings like, especially with the relationship you have with your mom, right? You had a lot to say during the episode about toxic mother-daughter relationships. Mm. There's no drama in your family, in your extended family. Mm. But how are you and your mom these days?
Okay.
Okay.
How are Hari Raya celebrations for you?
Yeah.
Now I don't go, sorry.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, I don't celebrate.
Okay. But would it make her happier if you went?
I don't know. She's a bit indifferent towards it. But then sometimes it affects me that she's indifferent towards it.
You want her to care?
Yeah. Yes and no.
Hey, that's generational trauma, right?
Generational trauma.
Ding, ding.
Specimen A.
She should be the thumbnail of this entire episode. Just as
I give you thumbnail.
Yes.
Okay, so basically, there was one year where I had said from the very beginning, I'm not celebrating. I'm not headed to anybody's house. And then the day came, and I had volunteered to work, by the way.
Like radio. Mm. Okay.
So I had gone to work. Uh-huh. And then I come home and she had gone out. And I was like, you cannot just ask like you not coming out.
Hey, sister, like, you own self say one what?
I know that I should be grateful because this doesn't fly in other families. I'm sure there are families where they force you or drag you by your feet, even if you don't want to go out. And I should be like, okay, because I really didn't want to. I'm not being like passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, nice to just ask.
I think that is on a personal level, that is a personal problem.
Yes.
It's interesting. Okay. So this Hari Raya, you want her to ask.
At this point, it doesn't matter anymore.
Okay, she says that.
She says this now.
But
we'll check back. Yeah, okay, we'll after check
I'm very far removed from it. But Chinese New Year gathering, I'm very excited because I'm first at the poker table.
I swear, this Azura go, we were playing banlak at a Christmas gathering, okay?
Freaking and you made a lot of money, oh.
Hey, thank you. Not bad.
Interesting. Okay, yes. We'll invite you to all the CMY gatherings.
100%.
That's right. I do believe, though, that complicated family relationships can change.
Oh.
But it takes a lot on both the individual's part and the family's part. Yeah, and in Asian families, I think it's a bit harder to approach the subject of something like family therapy or family counselling. It's a bit strange.
That's gotta be bullshit to my dad, man. Like, huh? I wanna pay a therapist to talk to us? No thanks, you know? That kind of thing.
But it's down to us to, I guess, break that.
Actually, right, can I just say that, okay, this might be an example of generational trauma because Hazy mentioned her dad. would be completely opposed to, like, how can you talk about your family with, like, a therapist, right? It doesn't make sense.
Right. Or now, if he found out I was talking about my brother on Harsh Podcast, he would question me and say, how can you talk about your family matters on a public space? You know, that
understood.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Don't Sorry send that. The hazies that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a friend of mine, her marriage is fine, but she just feels like couples therapy is something she wants to explore.
Sure.
Like, you don't have to just do it when there's a problem, right?
Same as my partner, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this once she spoke to me about it, and she was just basically asking, like, what's it like? How's it like? Because there's no way in hell I could ever make him agree to this. So he has this, the husband, our generation, believes still that you keep your home matters in the house.
Okay.
And I just found it like, wow, this still exists, huh?
Of course it does, yeah.
I just thought we were, especially like us, that we're more open towards it. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen how it helps. I'm not saying that it's the holy grail, that miracles will happen after, but I think we're just at this generation where we've seen it happen so much, it's been normalized that you would think someone would be like, yeah, okay, what's the harm in that?
Actually, when we first approached the subject of perhaps going to therapy as a couple, right? I was like, but there's nothing wrong with us, what? I was a bit more like your friend's husband. I was like, but going to therapy means there's something wrong. But then now I'm starting to, you know, it takes some time to learn that, you know, you can go to therapy even if there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then usually when you go to therapy, you find out
there's something wrong.
That you've just repressed.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can understand why he might feel that way.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's easy for couples to go to therapy. But if you want to pull an entire family, I don't think that's going to work out, especially in the Asian culture.
It's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think where you can start is with yourself.
Correct.
You don't necessarily have to start with the whole family. Yes. Start with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. One way is to really understand and be aware of what these traumas may look like in your life, in your family. Because if you don't know it, you can't fix it.
Correct.
It's like if you have a sickness, you don't know what it is, you can't cure it.
Mm. And I think it's important to perform intentional healing actions. Forgive yourself for things that you might have done wrong, but understand that you have done wrong and just promise yourself that you won't do it again. I think that's very important to sort of let yourself go for what happened in the past. This is how you can move on to become a better person.
I also think it's recognizing in what shape and form they come out in.
Correct.
Because you could be siblings, but maybe how it affected them and how it affected you could have been different as well.
Completely different.
It's true, yeah. So do it for yourself, right? Don't expect that everyone else around you is going to change. They may never, but do it for yourself. Don't do it for the people around
you. I think it's very tiring if you do something, like you change something about yourself and you expect other people to realize the difference and therefore change themselves. I don't think it works this way. So if you can't change other people, then change your mindset. I feel like that really, really works in all aspects of life.
Yeah, perspective, I think, is very, very important.
Perspective.
And there's something called an ACE.
Okay.
Adverse Childhood Experience, ACE. So these are, you know, severe traumas from your childhood that you may have completely forgotten about or repressed that will come back and bite you in the ass, especially when you have your own kids. So ideally, before you decide on starting your own family, if you are deciding on that, you should see professional help, a psychologist, therapist, to try and tap into those parts of your brain that you have completely shut off.
Correct.
Which is going to be a very tough process. I'm not going to lie to you. It's something I'm very nervous about in my own personal life, but I do think you'll be better because of it.
And can I just say, as someone who spent a large part, right, of 2023 trying to undo all these, like, learned habits, trying to learn new habits, realizing that, you know, this is not the best way to go about it, that I would like to change this for myself, I'm telling you, it's uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable.
But it's rewarding. Like,
but it's growth.
For me to hear, like, from my dad, you know, all these things that he could never verbalize.
Yes.
It's very rewarding.
Like, it's going to take a long time. You're going to feel uncomfortable for a long time, but don't give up because you know, like, you're on the right path. Like, I'm doing better. And I think that especially when like right thing that's wrong, so whatever they are, it's uncomfortable because it brings you down to a point where I don't know what to do anymore because what I used to do is not right.
Doesn't work out.
No. Mm. So I don't know how to deal with like anything anymore. And it's uncomfortable, but it's like a trial and error. You don't get it right the first time and it's okay. Then you try again.
Mm-hmm.
Then you try again. Then you try again, like different, tweak, tweak, tweak. I mean,
yeah, correct. So this is what we mentioned just now about working in yourself first, right? Mm. Change your mindset. Yeah, and I'm sure you feel a lot, lot better.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I want to leave you mm-hmm. with a quote as usual.
Yes. Yeah,
what's new? It's up to you to change generational narratives.
Mm.
When they tell you, but this runs in the family, you tell them, well, this is where it runs the fuck out.
Wonderful! Yes. I love it!
Love it.
Get it out! Get it out!
All right, with that, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at itsclarity.co.
That's right. You can listen to us on Me Listen, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Turn on your notifications. We hope you're not dreading gatherings too much this year.
Yeah, we're on YouTube as well. So come and check us out. And you know what else is on YouTube? Hazel's music video.
That's right.
Sing along. That's along.
Yeah, don't forget to support. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.